This is Hunchy Henry Graves with the World Traditional Karate Association. I'm the Florida director. Today on our show, we have the legendary Vic Moore. Master Moore, you there?
I'm here. Welcome.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Hello, Radio Land.
All righty. Well, Master Moore, would you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and things like that for me, please?
Okay. Let me start off with a little commercial here. I'd like for everyone to join with us and follow along with a legend of 69 years in the art of karate, a association of knowledge. We give knowledge in the different styles. We help in building bigger and better traditional dojos. We test for rank up to 9th and 10th. Done on age, years in karate, your knowledge. We give classes, we have seminars, we assist in real traditional tournaments, not the mumbo jumbo stuff, that make dojo stuff. We are the official organization to law officers and learning self-defense. So that's a little bit about me and our organization, 69 years in New York.
Wow, 69 years of martial art training. That's great,
well,
sir.
You know, Grace, as our state director, we appreciate this opportunity to be able to speak to the audience out there. A lot of people like to know who Vic Moore is. When Vic Moore was coming up, we didn't have computers. That's back in the 60s now. I started back in the 50s. We didn't have cell phones and all that good stuff. So people wasn't able to hear about and learn about the different pioneers in the art of karate. People like Thomas LaPuppet up in New York, Steve Sanders Muhammad out in Florida. Now he's down in Atlanta, Georgia. And several others, such as myself. People want to know, well, why I didn't hear about these people before? Well, like I just stated, we didn't have computers. The reason you're learning about Vic Moore now, besides me beating Bruce Lee, that so many people out there just can't believe what they said an idol of him. And I appreciate the movies that he done. He done more for karate than anybody, and making it grow so fast. But he was not a competitor. He was a movie star. Movie people. Just like Chuck Norris. A lot of people know of Chuck Norris because of the movie. But Chuck Norris was a real competitor. He was a great competitor. He was a champion. But you know what, Hunchy?
What's that, Master Moore?
All the audience out there, they know of Chuck Norris. You know of Chuck Norris? Yes, I know Chuck Norris. Texas Ranger and all. Good Guys Wear Black and all, and different movies and stuff. He jumped over the cars. But they don't know of Chuck Norris, the movie. Not just the movie star, but of a competitor. He was a real competitor. Bruce Lee was not a competitor. Chuck Norris beat people. Of course, I beat him at the International out in California. Then here I meet Bruce Lee and I was beating that. But Chuck Norris was a great champion. He defeated a lot of people. faithful. But they only know of him through the movie. They don't know of him through karate. And that's the reason that everybody out there in the radio land know of Bruce Lee. But they know of Bruce Lee only because of his movie. They can't name that one tournament that Bruce Lee was in because he never competed. He was not a champion, but he was a great movie star. Great movie star. I enjoyed his movie. Hey, Posse, did you make some of that noise too?
I don't think I'd be as good as Bruce Lee would be, but I do a Kia. Let me ask you something. Who was your toughest opponent that you ever faced?
Beg pardon?
Who was the toughest martial art opponent you ever faced, in your opinion? And when you were fighting back in, when you were fighting, competition time.
Oh, there was several. I can name 5 or 6 right off the bat. There was Big Mike Foster.
Mike Foster.
I defeated him in 1965 to become the first Grand National Champion in the world. And down in Miami.
Yes, sir.
Back in 1605. Miami Crawley and Johnny Capri in the tournament. It was the first Grand National Tournament under the USKA. Dr. Robert A. Trill.
That's incredible.
In 1966, there was the world champion from Hawaii, and he was undefeated. He came over to the world championship under the USKA, Dr. Robert A. Trill, and left with the Hewlin Willis. No, that was Daniel Pye's world championship. We had people from Okinawa, Japan, the Philippines, Canada, Mexico, Venezuela. We always had them, Venezuela people, Canada, Korea. Dr. Tripp always made sure that we had a group from different countries at our world championships and not just people down the street around the corner of our dojo calling it a world championship like they're doing this day and time.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
In 1967, that's when I really struck out strong. I defeated the All-Korean champion at Joan Reed's tournament in 67. He was tough, but I laid him down, kicked him out of the ring, and in 1968, there was the great Joe Lewis, who was another tough one, and I defeated him to become the first pro karate champion. That's when we started putting all the money behind us. Now, up until that time, there was no division, weight division. There was no money involved. So that was a pretty big tournament, big deal. And I defeated the great Joe Lewis. Then in 1969, I defeated Jim Kelly, who was, had a starring role in Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon. And he made a good name for himself. He's a pretty good fighter also.
Mm-hmm.
The toughest of all was the great, my idol, out there in Hawaii now, I believe. Maybe still out there. So, hello, Mike. Yes, Mike Stone was one of the toughest, one of my idols. I knew one day I was going to have to fight him. And I did. And I beat him. Beat him handily. But it was tough. So those are some of the top champions. And then in 1970, there was the super fast Bill Superfoot Wallace. And I defeated him at the USKA World Championship in San Antonio, Texas.
You're talking legends all the way around. That's all I'm hearing. A lot of great, great fighters.
champions along with myself. Matter of fact, Jimmy Jones and Artie Simmons was with me in Compton, California when I beat Bruce Williams. And I know pretty sure that they could have done the same thing that I did, beat him in a speed match.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Jones, just as fast as me. Artie Simmons, he was just as fast. I had to take second behind him a time or two. Jimmy Jones and Artie Simmons and Victor Moore. You had to flip a coin as to who was going to win.
Wow, that was three the hard way.
Second and third places.
Wow, that was truly and three the hard way. They called you the Three Musketeers?
And all the tournaments.
Wow.
He would win second. Big Moore had to take third. Next tournament, Big Moore would take first. Artie Simmons took third. Jimmy Jones took second. And we never knew who was going to win. We looked at each other and said, all right, guys, let's go to it. It's only taking this tournament.
Those are fun days. Grandmaster Moore, do you have anything, any writings, any books that we could purchase or try to get our hands on and read more about you and find out more about you? Anything in the makings? Okay.
A little better package now because we got this new era of computers and the internet. And like I said, back in my days, we didn't have computers and internet and cell phones and all of that. He said, well, if he's that good, why I haven't heard of him? Because we didn't have internet.
Okay.
Nowadays, they see Big Moore on the internet. Well, Big Moore claimed to beat Bruce Lee. Well, I don't claim it. I did it. Why is he just now speaking about it? Just now speaking about it? Are you crazy? Back in 1967, the day after I was speaking about it, and I put it in my advertisement, you know? Just now speaking about it. But you better get out of here. You weren't born back in 67. What are you talking about? I'm just now hearing about it.
Wow. Yeah.
Because you got the internet now. I mean, there were super champions out there. Alexander Muhammad, he would have been real strong. Matter of fact, Bruce Lee told him he was one of the fastest Americans he ever seen. He was in his movie, Enter the Dragon. And,
okay.
He wanted to train some with him. But like I said, not to take away Bruce Lee's stardom from his movie, but to be a champion, folks. You want to call somebody a champion? Listen to me. Listen, clean ears out. Listen. If you're going to call somebody a champion, they had to have competed. And if you competed, you had to have what? Won. So don't be calling people world champion, national champion, champion of champions, the all-time champion. You're champion of what? Making movies. But in competition, to be a champion, you had to have competed. How you gonna be a golf champion and you never compete in golf? How you gonna be a champion in basketball? How you gonna be a champion in karate and you never competed? Don't be stupid. Have some sense. To be a champion, you had to have competed.
Well, great masters.
James Cook.
Oh, I know Master Cook very well. Yes.
You know, in the
karate
competition.
Yes. Yep. Oh, yeah. James Cook's a tough guy. So what do you think the state is with the karate today and the training that you received when you were coming up and the way the Yodanshas are training now and the way the Qs are being trained now? How do you compare it? What do you see in the martial arts going if we allow it to continue?
Night and day different. No comparison.
You think the fighters are tougher today or were they tougher back then?
Well, in the art, they was a lot tougher. We got people that are physically just as strong and possibly just as tough. But could they have went through the training, could they have won in good traditional karate? No, not at all. Now, like I said, you don't have to be in the martial arts to be tough. Everybody out there, they know someone that is tough that don't even take martial arts or they can get away a little bit faster in MMA stuff. But the art of karate is an art. That's why we stress traditional karate.
Yes.
You can't get out there and just jump around, jump up and down, jump in and out, clap around, fall down on the floor, and roll around and get up, jump up, kick and fall. That's no art. And besides, to deliver a karate punch is a lot different than just throwing a boxing punch or a street fighting punch. Now, our organization, we also help people in boxing. Our line up in Cincinnati, Ohio, we're headed up on a boxing department. Yours truly, I box under the Melrose YMCA with several top-notch boxers. Matter of fact, how I ride, tell me that cigarette limit does change in Cincinnati there at a time of the training. And he's got all the top name of all the boxers and some we work with. I was Tiger Joe Hart, a hair sparring partner at
So you work with those guys in boxing.
But I had 12 amateur fights, and I won all 12.
I didn't ever know that about you.
When I tell this story, Hunter, I admit that I cheated.
How so? How so? I'm biased about martial arts. I love martial arts. The show was also designed to talk about different training tools. And one thing that I noticed, a lot of schools, they don't do sparring. They only do weapon kata, which is kabuto, or they do empty hand kata. What do you feel about a dojo that just only does kata and don't do any physical sparring? What do you think about that? Mm-hmm. Great, because when I think about you, I just think about the great fighter. I never think about, you know, the practitioner of the kata or the weapons.
Nobody ever talks about that. They don't know about the kata division. And then demonstration. I used to jump up and do triple kicks. I done triple kicks in tournaments and won with them. But we
amazing.
Used to have demonstrations. I jump up and throw a double side kick in the air, double back kick. And these are things that I did in tournaments. And there was George Dillman over in Pennsylvania. Oh, George Dillman, he said, give me this. We had to flip a coin who was going to win in Kumite, which most time I did, and who was going to win in Kata, and we had to flip a coin on that. He'll win one time, I'll win another time, and then I had to concede to him in the demonstration. I used to break 8 inches of concrete with the side of my hand, 3 inches with a snap of the wrist.
Wow.
Breaking concrete. Yeah, I put my fingertips on the concrete slab and then just snap the wrist. Just snap it and break it. George Dillman come along with his whole sack of 50 pounds of ice and break it. I said, oh, well. So I had to say thank you by George Dillman of
Pennsylvania. Wow.
Yeah,
I've been to a couple George Dillman tournaments in PA. I was, at a few of his up there.
Yeah, that's my little buddy. We get together down in South Carolina, south of the border, go out and meet me and his wife there. Like to say hello to George, hope he's doing good. One of the top, he helped work with Muhammad Ali up in Dearborn, Michigan at Muhammad Ali training camp. I believe Judge Dillman ended up buying that training camp up there. I'm not sure, so don't quote me on it.
I'll try to look into that for you.
Yeah, what do you say,
Sensei? I said I'll try to look into that for you.
Yeah, I got pictures of me and Muhammad Ali together.
Mm-hmm.
All of their stuff on the internet. Went through his training camp up there at Dearborn, Michigan. I sparred with Muhammad Ali's sparring partner, and I beat him.
What?
I was a good boxer now. Don't play Big Moore short now.
Okay, all right, Master Moore.
You know about boxing, yes, sir. I boxed for a number of years there. I started off when I was 12, 13 years of age. I was 14 and sparring with grown men, and I was one of the top boxers back in the day. Tiger Joe Harris, sparring partner. We were fighting under Joe Joyner. All them boxers out there, they know these names there.
Mm-hmm.
So
you've had some great career.
But you was asking about the instructor.
Yes.
I started off with a few guys in the neighborhood, Buzzy and all, just showing us some technique. But my first real instructor was Ron Henderson. And he was teaching Kempo Karate, which is what it was called back in the day, and Kung Fu. And he didn't want to train nobody. But I kept insisting. He finally let me come in. When I say come in, it was not into a dojo. Sensei, can you hear me?
I'm listening.
We didn't have dojos back then. We fought out in the woods. You know, this is back in the 50s, you know.
Wow.
And we cleaned off the grass, limbs, and whatever. And that was the dojo.
Mm-hmm.
We filed in working area. And he was determined he's going to make this young boy quit. But I hung in there.
Well, that's the opposite Grandmaster Moore. Today they try to get him in there, and before, but with my sensei, he was rough on us, and if you quit, then he knew you wasn't ready for the task. Today they kind of like baby him in there to keep him in there. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I can go through a whole list here of instructors back then. That was Grandmaster Moore, that was just like that. They wanted to make you quit the first dojo that we had back in the early 60s, was with Harvey Eubanks and Bill Demetrius. You look up those names on the internet, you'll see Bill Demetrius was one of the top instructors back in the days, Shotokan and Shichiru. He ran all the Shotokan schools, and he was Dr. Shitoshi's head man for the United States, who I privilege of working with Dr. Shitoshi when he came from Japan over here to America. And Harvey Eubanks first started teaching Goju-Ryu in the dojo back in the early 60s. And there was a lot of dispute there between the two, and they just tried to make us quit. They were so strict and hard. Like you're saying, man, they'd be hard on you. They wanted to see how bad you could get you to quit.
Yeah.
And we had a Chinese fellow by the name of Chong Ling. Where is he at? He was an exchange student from China. Came to the University of Cincinnati engineering classes as an exchange student, and he was teaching Chinese karate, Jia Yun Fang, which was one of the first forms of Chinese karate that was being taught in the monastery back in the days there. Tai Chi Bohan Dorama, which says how the legend speaks it. Anyway, that Chinaman, he came here to America, and he wanted to show Harvey Eubanks and Bill Demetrius what karate was all about, how you studied. That man beat us with bamboo sticks and punched us and kicked us. We was already doing knuckle push-ups. Bill Demetrius now, but now we started with one finger, two fingers. Well, let me go down the other way. 4, 5, 3, 2 fingers. Bruce Lee, he ain't doing nothing new with his demonstrations out there. A 1-inch punch. Bruce Lee was doing a 12-inch push. He was shoving. Look on the internet. That ain't a 1-inch punch. He's shoving the guy. He's pushing. Back in the days, we had to do a 1-inch punch. And that's what this Chinaman had us doing. And we had to hold our legs up for 5 and 10 minutes until we dropped. We was beaten. We had to kumite. Now, you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Y'all listening to Big Boy? This sensei, he had us to kumite to fight with our feet tied to one another.
What?
So there was maybe a foot or two at the most at any time. And we had to kumite full blast. We made contact. You had to make contact. These MMA fighters and stuff, I heard somewhere that guy was giving Bruce Lee credit for developing MMA. Man, we was MMA fighting before Bruce Lee was probably born, but actually out on the scene, we've been doing MMA. It just wasn't called MMA.
I see.
You went through, back in the day, you learned how to break ball, you learned how to throw, you learned how to sweep, and he threw a man down and then had to follow through with a punch. Ask the old timers.
Mm-hmm.
Ask the old timers out there. Don't just listen to Vic Moore. Ask them. They was sweeping and throwing and kicking in the groin and making full contact.
Sound like they'd be disqualified today. I'm sorry, Grandmaster. I said sound like they'd get disqualified.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's how we the one that made Jim Reed come out with those gears, all that chicken gear and stuff, but he didn't come out with it for us to make contact. He came out with that stuff so that if we slip and hit too hard, it wouldn't hurt the man.
Okay.
Nowadays, they put this stuff on and bound each other around and ain't doing half the power that we was doing with real karate. See, because a karate punch is different. That's why I won all them boxing matches. 12 of them. Bam. But we was throwing each other, and that drum ring, man, I swear that's one of the hardest instructors we ever had. And the other ones was hard. And then there was Jim Wax, who was teaching the showing roof. Bob Yonell out that way, he know about Jim Wax. And he was one of Jim Wax first showing roof student, I believe it is spoken of. But when Jim Wax came to Cincinnati, I got up under him and he was another crazy instructor. Excuse me for saying it that way. But they wanted to see if they could make you quit. He took us outside in the dojo and we had to run around the dojo and they was fixing the roof on the place, and there was hot fire out there on the ground we had to run to, and we come back inside and a roofing tank must have got down some kind of way and it stuck into my foot, and we run around laughing inside the dojo and doing duck hunt and there's a ticking going on. And Sensei Wang says, "What's that noise I hear? That ticking sound." Everybody stop. We stop. The noise stops. All right, go. Tick, tick. Everybody stop. Look down at the bottom of your feet. And Sensei, there was a roofing nail, roofing tackle, axe that you put down the tar paper with.
Yeah.
Into the bone of my foot, and if my foot hadn't been tough with callus and stuff coming all the way from Ron and this was back in the day, kicking them trees. We had to kick trees till they almost died, man.
Wow.
Just face the short, showing some of that stuff, kicking trees till they died. Man, some of that stuff was real. Yes, sir.
Grandmaster, could I ask you a question? Where are you living now? Where are you located now?
I'm down here in Elko, North Carolina, which is right over the river from Wilmington, North Carolina.
Okay. If we have someone want to come and train, where would they find you at? Where would they come and train at down there?
Right here in Wilmington.
Okay.
I came from Cleveland, Ohio. I moved from Cincinnati up to Cleveland, Ohio, running different dojos all around Ohio at 7 different schools. I was traveling 1,000 miles a week.
Wow.
I was working at the Ohio Judo Karate Association up in Cleveland. And Sandusky, Pine View, Alliance, Ohio, Cincinnati and three schools running there. I was running all over Ohio. That's where I started at.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I mean,
but anyway, the training was so hard that if you weren't tough, you wouldn't make it. So they laughed at the instructors. They had a lot of students. How many students you got? Oh, I got 3, 4. Oh, yeah, you're doing okay. How many you got? You got 20. Oh, you 20? Oh, you must be. You must not be teaching that. Because they would laugh at a guy if he had a whole bunch of students. If he had just a handful, he must have been doing it right.
Wow, that's a big contrast. I mean, from today, you know.
How many students you got? How much money can you make?
Yeah.
The more you would make a lot more money if you wasn't so strict, so hard. Hey, that's all I know. That's all I know.
You came up in an era where martial arts was done the way they was expected to be done, and they were close to the tradition. And I remember, you know, many times you and I have talked about it and came and done some training with you and things like that. But every time I talk with you, I get another education on how far the martial arts have came. And to be in the presence of the great masters like yourself, you know, is an honor. That's why I'm really being quiet, because just I can just listen to you talk and the things that you taught me and told me. The things that you taught and told me have helped me to you know, be a better martial artist.
I train y'all guys hard. I know I'm hard on you guys.
Yes.
And sometimes I have to take a step back and say, all right, Vic, lighten up, man. Not the olden days, but I got to train you like the olden days, but I try not to be as hard, and I make you get down in them stances. I make you throw them punches the right way, hitting with the first two knuckles. You got to learn about the anatomy of the body. You got to know what bone structure is. You got to name the bones. You got to know that you hit with those first two knuckles and why. You got to kick with the ball of the foot and why. Why you don't slap with the instep and all. You got to know where to strike at, you know. Yeah, I take you through all of that, but that's why you stick. That's why you love working under me.
Yes, sir.
It's because I train you well, and it works on the street. We also train law officers. If they want to learn how to defend themselves, now you law officers, listen. We are the organization that teach you how to take away a knife, how to take away a gun. Yes, sir. Half of you guys out there are scared. That's why you're shooting up, beating on people. So you're scared. You are. Quit lying. You are scared. You are scared. Make more things. The reason you're shooting up on people, that's because you're afraid of them. Scared. You are. Come to my organization. Come to my seminar. We are the organization that will teach you how to take away a club, how to take away a knife. Come on.
I think a lot of it is mindset also. You know, you have to be mentally prepared to deal with all situations and all people. And sometimes, you know, you can escalate something as well as de-escalate it, you know. But like training with you, we learn how to de-escalate it, or we also learn how to escalate when the time is appropriate for us to go in and put hands on and do it correctly. And, you know, with the least amount of harm to the subject or the person. But if we're put in a situation where we have to defend ourselves, then we have to defend ourselves. So I thank you for all of that knowledge.
Oh, thank you. That's why we go through the mental aspect. Rick Moore teaches more the mental aspect than the physical. And I teach you everything that you need to know. As a matter of fact, I got a book coming out. What to be taught in karate class. All the stances you need to know. You may not fight from that stance and that stance. You may not even like that stance. but you learn it and you teach it because that may be your student's favorite stance or technique. That may be the stance that he needs to fight from to overcome a person. You learn all the blocks, not just the block that you like. You learn the chicken hand block, the palm heel block, the ridge hand block, the shuto block, not just an outside block, a high block, a low block. You learn all the punches, hook punches, uppercut punches, inverted punches, rising punches. You learn everything. You learn all the kicks, hook kicks, axe kicks, jump kick, drop kick. We don't get a point for all that. See, shut up. You gotta learn everything. You don't just learn stuff to win a trophy in a tournament. That's what's wrong with karate in this day and time. And all them MMA fighters, they're not even doing karate. You don't see no karate technique. You don't see no karate stances. Well, he's a martial artist. He's a karate man. Bull crap. He's just a fighter. He's a good fighter. Tough fighter. But he's not a martial artist. Where's the stance? Where's the karate block that when a man throw a punch? Where is a block? Well, we just cover up. We see it's a thing of fact. Well, see, this is different. Yeah. Because if you block the man's arm, he ain't going to throw it back out there.
Yeah.
And you block his leg and you hit that tibial nerve, he's going down. You kick him in the peripheral nerve and he's about passed out. You kick him at the tibial nerve up front and he's going down. You about knock him out. You don't even know about this stuff. You're just slapping the outside of his leg anyway. Oh my God! No.
I know when you get started, you're very passionate, and you know you told me and showed me more than once when that block is applied right, you really don't want to throw another punch because you don't want to get struck by that block again, which is a strike also, and you're punishing the person. And I like to talk to the martial artists out there. You guys, please come to the Culture Radio and turn in on the way. That's the name of the show today, and leave your opinions and leave your comments and things like that. And myself and Grandmaster Moore would appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to having him back on to take some phone calls the next opportunity I get to get him on. He's so busy doing so many things. He got movie things coming up. He got books coming out every year around. Grandmaster Moore, is that November or December you have your seminar
November.
That we come to?
Third weekend in November, we have a big seminar.
Yes.
Let me just do two more minutes to my instructors there.
Yes, sir.
After Jim Wax, I went to college, Central State College, up in Wilberforce, Ohio. Barry Yasuto was teaching Shotokan up there, and I worked with him. He was about one of the lightest instructors. Probably because we was on campus, I don't know.
Okay.
Then I got with Dr. Robert A. Trias back in 1963, and that's when we had our first world championship. Al James Gorilla was one of the speedy men, one of the fastest karate men. He was faster than Bruce Lee.
Wow.
And he was out of Cleveland, Ohio. Al James Gorilla. And I don't think he's too active nowadays. I haven't heard. But he won the first championship, world championship. And then Mike Stone, my idol, he won the second one. That was in 64. Al Jean won in 63. He won in 64. We were so rowdy, we got put out of the hotels up there. We changed from Chicago and went to Florida. Master Trias changed the name to the Grand Nationals, and I won it in 65. So the first was Al Jean Gorilla out of Cleveland, and then there was Mike Stone,
Wow.
So those are your three first top champions in the USGA tournament. So Master Trias was my main instructor. I traveled out to Arizona training with Dr. Trias, and I sure Ray Rude, that's the style that I go by. But I teach the human body. When you fight the human body, you don't have to worry about a man's style.
Yes, sir.
And then there was Dr. Mondee, who came in, the USGA, one of the top instructors in the world, who's down in Georgia. He was teaching Bondo karate. Then there was my good buddy, Harold Long. Harold Long was teaching Ishinru over in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hello, over to all my Knoxville people there. They know who Vic Moore is. Hewlin Willis from Richmond, Virginia, and Harold Long from Knoxville, Tennessee, and Vic Moore from Cincinnati. Under the direction of Dr. Robert E. Trias, we put together the first law enforcement officer training program. That's back in 67 in Cincinnati. And I've been training law officers ever since. And that's why we are the official organization. And at our seminars, we train law officers, and we have unheard of techniques. We can subdue a person, and we can hold a person with one finger. We can cuff with one set of cuffs two people where they can't get away. They can't run, get away. We can cuff three people with one set of cuffs. Ride control. We have all kinds of techniques, unbelievable techniques. You can put a person down and hold them down with two fingers. Why MMA fighters don't know some of these techniques, I don't know. But hey, get up with Vic Moore. You MMA fighters, you want to learn some stuff? Hey, get with Vic Moore. Now a lot of the stuff may not be legal. Oh, with Vic Moore, we can't use that. Oh, no. Well, hey, but that's stuff that you can't use if you knew how to control the body.
Grandmaster Moore, we're running short on time now, so I'm going to close it. And thank you so much for being part of the show today. I had to just sit back and listen to it, because every time you talk to me, I get more knowledge, and just I just love to hear you talk about the way martial arts
was. Let me tell everybody, go to my website, pwka.co, not .com, just .co, pwka, standing for Traditional World Karate. And my phone number is 910-655-4560. One more time, it's a pin. 910-655-4560. Master Graves, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
I got to call you up to Tennessee, and it's a pleasure. You holding strong to it, and I appreciate taking the time to have this interview. We're taping this, so you guys out there are going to be able to hear it over the internet, to be able to call in on our next endeavor, our next show. But I encourage you to join the Traditional World Karate Association. Go to my website to learn more about it.
All right, well, thank you. Yes, sir.
I appreciate